Good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone on site and those joining us online. Welcome home, our siblings and our friends. You know, be it whether you are watching in Singapore live, or you are joining us from overseas, or you're watching this at a later time. You know, wonderful day to you, and a very Merry Christmas. We are still in Christmas, you know, 12 days of Christmas. So I hope you have a very enjoyable time these few days and have gotten yourself a good rest. You know, we ushered in 2021, and may this year be a very hopeful year for all of us. And this Sunday, right, we celebrate the first Sunday of Epiphany, whereby Christ is presented to us, to the world. The hope and salvation of God has been given to us. And this Sunday, we are invited to meditate on this, one of the greatest Christian mystery of the Word incarnate, right? When God enters space and time to tell us of His love. So let us encounter our God by preparing our hearts, by responding to the call to worship. Will you join me? Today is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us be glad this day for life, for breath,
and for freedom to worship.
Blessed are you who come in the name of the Lord.
We come to bring our gifts of praise and gratitude to the God of creation.
Trust in the Lord at all times, O people. God is a refuge for us.
God is our rock and our salvation. We shall not be shaken.
God is good, and in God's work we find our strength.
We sing of all God's wonderful works. Let us give thanks and praise to the Lord.
Now, let us join together, you know, for those online, right? Join us with one heart and one voice, and those on site, let's join our hearts together to meet our Lord, encounter and glorify Him together with our worship team.
Shepherds, why these tears? Your glory never ends. Your glory
Church. My name is Mark, and I'll be leading the prayer for today. I think one thing that we do when we pray is that sometimes when we close our eyes, we can get very distracted by many thoughts that come into our mind. So one of the things that will be quite helpful, right, is to find an anchor for yourself. Normally, people would use their breath to just keep themselves focused, but sometimes it can be difficult. So another way you can also try doing it is when you close your eyes, you know, I know you close your eyes, you cannot see anything, but imagine that you can actually see through your eyes or you can see into the darkness, okay, and use it as a way to keep yourself grounded, okay, as we pray. All right, so let's close our eyes and find ourselves some peace before we begin. To the God of many names, you are the light that shines in the darkness. In the story of Jesus, we see your divinity, Word made flesh. Through Jesus, each of us is born again and becomes your child. Lord, we praise you and set our hope on you. Gather our scattered thoughts and feelings and bring us back to you. All the parts that are deformed, all the parts that are tender and growing, bring us back to you and help us walk back to you that we may always be in right relationship with you. Lord, thank you for the start of a new year. Thank you for the seasons in our lives, the wet and the dry. Thank you for the many showers of blessings you've given to us in our life, for the food we eat, the air we breathe, the work we do, the friends and family and community that we live with and live in. Lord, we are blessed with abundance of blessings in our lives. Thank you for this church and the community and the chance to connect with others, and in so doing, connect with you. Lord, thank you for this family, a spiritual family of brothers and sisters, fathers and mothers, living together and walking together as we learn to allow ourselves to be molded in your image and to be more like you each day. Lord, in this year ahead, lead us back to you. Walk with us by brooks of water and make straight our paths so that we will not stumble. Lord, we pray that your joy may fill our lives abundantly. May we be at peace with ourselves and others. We pray for comfort for those who are in sorrow. And in your time, Lord, turn our mourning into dancing. Bless our lives with thanksgiving and gladness. Guide us to live each day with gratefulness, to enter your courts with thanksgiving and praise in our hearts. Lord, we pray for all who have and will choose to make FCC their home, their spiritual home in this coming year. We pray for every cell group, every leader, and every person in this church, that we may grow together in patience, in commitment, in promise to each other, and gratitude for all that we have. Lord, we pray as individuals and as a community that we will become good disciples of yours in this year ahead. Lord, now we'd like to take a few moments to lift up the personal prayers and issues of our hearts before we close together in prayer as a church. Lord, we say hallelujah and give you praise for this new year. May your will be done in this world, in our lives, and in this community that you have blessed us with. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Christmas comes for everyone, everyone. Good morning and Merry Christmas. Like what Jimmy said earlier, we are still in the season of Christmas. And while some of you might be wondering why we are still having Christmas carols in our worship set, did we make a mistake? No, we didn't. Because there are 12 days of Christmas in the liturgical calendar. And at the end of Christmas, it's followed by Epiphany, the feast day that commemorates the visit of the Magi to the Christ child. In many countries, Epiphany is also celebrated as a public holiday, like in Austria, Poland, Croatia. Many of these Christian countries still, or used to be Christian countries, celebrated as a public holiday. Today, we are going to have the mentee, and I would like to invite you to log in and join in and answer some of the questions as we go through the sermon. The code today is 8403416. So while you're logging in to mentee, will you join me in prayer? God, may the words from my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you. Amen. So, to start off, I really appreciated the quiz that the youth created for Christmas. I didn't win and I certainly didn't answer all the questions correctly. But this question really surprised me. And for those of you who know the answers, maybe you want to not reply. So, the question here is, according to the Gospels, how many Magi visited Jesus? And I see someone already started clicking on the answers. 3, 3, 3, 3. I'll give you some time to reply. The youth will be tickled for because I used one of the questions, and I was really surprised too. I can tell you the 9 people who replied actually took part in the youth quiz. Now 10. So a lot of you answered 3. And some of you answered with that emoji. I really didn't know how to get that emoji. I had to cut and paste onto the quiz. The answer is, I don't know. It's really this, right? Traditionally, we hear of the 3 wise men or the 3 magi who pay homage to Jesus because there were 3 gifts. That's how they concluded. There were 3. Of course, if you have a whole entourage of magi, it's going to be a difficult painting where they painted the frescoes on the churches. We have all heard this story before, this story about the magi arriving. But I would like to read it to you again and invite you to go into the story. And at the end, I will ask you what questions popped up in your mind or what jumped up at you for this story. From Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening the treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Oh, let me refresh this. Give me a moment. I made some edits just now and it seems to have not updated. Sorry about that, because it says slide is not active because there were some changes. Can I refresh? Yep, I got it. Yep. No, I can control. Don't worry. The question I have for you is, after you listen to the reading, what stood out for you? Someone has already replied, homage. Or what questions did you have when you heard the story? The star stood out for you? I'll give you all some time to think about what stood out. There's no mention of how many magi, yeah? They followed the star. The wise men were from a different country. King of the Jews. The deceit of Herod. The alternate path the Magi took on the way back, right? Reflection of Hebrew Bible stories. The baby was special. The star stood still. Are there more wise men visiting? What were their real intentions for visiting? What is myrrh? Myrrh is actually a kind of spice used for burial. So it's quite interesting and it foreshadows Jesus' death. Where they came from and why exactly they came. When this took place, before or after the birth of Jesus? Oh, this took place after the birth of Jesus. So they arrived and the 12th, they arrived. So that's why the tradition of Epiphany is celebrated after the 12 days. So Jesus was born on 25th December. And then they arrived 12 days later after the birth. There's a parallel with the story of Moses. How did the Magi know about Jesus? Okay. Quite a few questions. Some of the things that I want to draw your attention to. When the Magi told Herod, King of the Jews, actually, King of the Jews is his title. The title that's given to him by the Roman Empire. He was appointed King of the Jews. So when he hears that born now is the King of the Jews, that's a challenge to his power in some ways. And how did the Magi know? The Magi, and the reason why we don't use the word Magi a lot of times to see wise men, is because it's often associated with magic. That's where the root word is from. But the Magi are actually the priestly caste of another religion. They are from Persia, and they're priestly caste of the Zoroastrianism. They are the priests of that religion. And traditionally, they are also very good astronomers. Astrologers. So they study the signs and they know of the birth of an important child, right? Someone that they will come and pay homage to. We have seen various depictions of the Magi arriving to baby Jesus. Some show that they are on a camel following a star. There's little said about their pilgrimage, but you can just take a look at how far they traveled, right? They traveled what was used to be where used to be Babylon, and all the way, which is Iraq today, all the way to Bethlehem. So they crossed over a journey about more than 1,000 miles, about 1,100, okay, I cannot see the numbers on the screen now. This one, Google Maps. 1,150? Okay, this is a test of my eyesight. What was their journey like? The story doesn't say. So today we are so pampered by modern transportation that we don't really feel distances that we actually travel, all right? A journey of 1,000 miles to us could be easily on a high-speed rail, you know, getting the news of recent news, or even on planes. That 1,000 miles are covered just by an hour or so that you cover that distance. But back then, this journey is on foot, on mules, or on camels, across a distance, not really comfortable. How many of you have ridden on camels or horses or mules before? Some of you have, right? And you have sat on them to go somewhere. And usually it's just a short hour or so because it's really expensive. Wherever we travel and we are given a horse ride or something, it's usually for just an hour. But imagine sitting on them for days and maybe even weeks. It's not a comfortable journey, right? Why did he make that journey all the way to just pay homage to a newborn child? And how do you think that they felt when they arrived at their final destination? The Bible says they were filled with joy. But I wondered if they have other feelings as well. Surprise? Because here is the child born, this king of the Jews, not in the palace, but in a manger. Of course, by the time that they arrived, he was no longer in a manger. They visited Jesus and Mary in a house. I wondered if they felt a little disappointed at the end of the journey. I wondered if they had huge expectations. After all, they brought quite a lot of gifts to offer this newborn child. But this child was born to a nobody. Not in a palace. And Mary was a nobody. At least then. Or perhaps they had little expectations. All they were doing was single-mindedly following that star, not questioning, trusting in that they know that they didn't need to know that much till they find what they were looking for. We spent the season of Advent preparing for now that it is Christmas. Was it what we expected? Or are we so familiar with the story of Christmas that we no longer see it with fresh eyes? Just like this story, we are so familiar with it that we don't see it in different ways. Suddenly, 2020 wasn't the year they expected it to be. And I'm sure that you also have experiences when you waited and waited, prepared and prepared, and you finally reached your destination, or reached the time, it wasn't what you expected it to be. I want to ask, how do you react? So 2020 didn't turn out to be the journey we intended it to be. I was looking through some emails from January and February of 2020, and all those things didn't happen. And it turned out to be a whole different journey for all of us. So at the end, when we arrive here, close to the end of Christmas, how was your journey like? And that journey, what gifts did you bring along to pay homage to Jesus? Think about, what gifts did you bring to Jesus through your pilgrimage in 2020? All didn't go well in 2020. But I think the gift that I bring is hope. Hope that despite all things that happened, that God is still with us. Hope that we can still walk alongside, work with, contribute to God's unfolding story of redemption, healing, salvation, love. Hope that when all else grows dim, love will prevail. So some of you have written what gifts you bring. I tried my best in everything I could, drew nearer to Him. Faith, belief, faith and trust for a God that knows what is best for us. Gratitude. I also tried my best. Held space for others. Surrender. Gifts to God's people. Kindness. To continue to help those who need help. Thank you for sharing. And for those of you who are still thinking and reflecting, and may have not thought about this question before, well, it's not Epiphany till the 6th of January. There's still some time to think about what gifts do you bring to that long journey in 2020. May not be a physical journey, but certainly an emotional, spiritual one. Your pilgrimage in 2020, what do you lay at the feet of Jesus? I see a few more. I try my best, God, and complain less. Waiting in patience and contemplation. Be observant. Service to others. My vulnerabilities. Trust. Thank you all for sharing. And continue to share. But when we listen to this story, we often downplay one character in the story. We like to talk about the Magi arriving to visit Jesus and pay homage. But we don't like to talk about Herod. Who likes to talk about a ruler who orders the killing of babies? Or a ruler who execute his mother-in-law, his wife, and three of his own sons, because he thought that they were a threat to his power? It is easy to look around and try to identify who may be the heralds of today. One comes to mind. Leaders who wield power selfishly for the benefit of themselves and those who surround them, and not for the benefit of all people. But that distracts us from the most insidious herald of all, the herald who resides in our own hearts. Because what we do very often is to tell ourselves that God's will is somehow aligned with our will, that somehow God wants what we want, and we justify our actions even though they run against what Jesus taught. Sometimes the gifts that we say that we bring to Jesus are actually gifts for ourselves. We're human and we fail. So perhaps sometimes we need to ask ourselves, are the gifts that we bring really gifts for Jesus? Or they're just gifts that are for ourselves? They're more for ourselves than for Christ. It is not easy to see Harold in ourselves because we don't see ourselves as evil. Or are we villains or murderers or babies or oppressors who make lives difficult for those who are on the margins? I want to ask you, it's perhaps easier to see ourselves as the people who surround Harold. In the story, it says all Jerusalem was frightened along with Harold. And he asked the chief priests and the scribes, you know, who is this king of the Jews? Where is he to be born? Think about it. These priests and scribes are very religious. They know their scriptures. Yet, why are they with Harold? Why, even knowing that the king of Jews is to be born in Bethlehem, right? They know that the prophet said that. They still stand with Harold. Perhaps they thought to themselves, who are we to stand up against Harold? We'll be killed, executed. We'll lose all the privilege, all the comforts that we have. Who are we to change the world? Are there times in your life that you are like Harold? Are there times you've been like the priests and the scribes, aligning yourself with Harold instead of Christ? This question requires you to be vulnerable, to reflect, and perhaps to face a part of yourself that you might not want to face. It's not easy. It requires you to see a darker side of yourself. But there are times we'll be more like the priests and the scribes. And there are times that we align ourselves with Harold instead of Christ. And that's something that we need to change, to grow out of. I remember many years ago, very many years ago, there was a 17-year-old who signed up and wanted to be to join Living Water, our support group for men trying to reconcile faith and sexuality. And that time, I was more aligned with Harold than with Christ. There was a huge part of me that said, let's not get ourselves in trouble and get someone who is still a minor to join our support group because we can easily get in trouble, right? It just takes that person's parents or someone who found out to make a big hoo-ha about it and we'll be in trouble, right? It took a bit of wrestling and it took a few people's advice, right, for me to take that risk, for me to be willing to take that risk and have this teenager join us in our program. I'm glad I did. Because in that process, not only was this young person changed, so were we, all the participants in the program, and so was I. There's another time that we were celebrating Transgender Day of Remembrance. And I was preparing the liturgy for the communion. And I had a very strong prompting to invite our friends who were joining us that day, the transgender sex workers, to preside over the communion. And I struggled that night because I went, are you crazy out of your mind? Because that is taking a huge risk. What will the congregation think? How will they feel? There'll be a riot. I'll be fired. How can that be? But God's voice, it wasn't really a voice, it was more a feeling, wouldn't let go. How radical is God's love? And that was the question that echoed and that gave me some courage. And then I reached a point where, you know, if I don't go through with this, right, I might as well just not be doing what I'm doing. Because if I believe in this God that loves everyone regardless, this God of justice, this God of hope, then I need to live by it as well. I cannot just say. It needs to be followed up with action as well. My worship of God cannot just be singing, speaking, but not followed through with action. And so, I did invite them to preside over communion with me. There was no riot. Nobody came up and complained. And someone actually came up to me and said, I now know what the word radical means. This is how we are to live out this internal fight against Harold in some ways. And sometimes it's only in hindsight that we realize that we lost that struggle with Harold. Sometimes we chose the easier path. And our growth comes from acknowledging that and walk another path, make a different choice the next time. Some of you have answered, are there times when you have been like the priest and scribe? Someone says, of course, many times. thank you for being honest. Many, waiting for the day until the oppressor is gone. And the oppressor often is inside us. Yes, so I don't have to lose face, be outcast, or make sacrifices that will rock my boat. Thank you. This is the insidious herald, right? Not killing babies, but actually losing face or making sacrifices that will really rock our boats in many ways. Yes, because I'm quite bureaucratic. Well, sometimes it's not being bureaucratic that makes you like the priest and the scribes. Risk of losing the comforts of life. That's the insidious thing, right? That when we lose those comforts are actually make us stray, make us align with Harold instead of Christ. And that's something that we need to think about. Many of us like the weather these few days. It's cool. But this weather is evidence of something, of climate change. And it's very concerning for me, at least. And how I can contribute to slowing down climate change so that we have a planet to leave for future generations. Continues a work in progress to move away from this dark side of me. I win and also lose. And thank you for being honest to acknowledge that you are winning and also losing. I think that being transparent, honest, vulnerable, and letting all these things come to the light, that we are able to live whole lives that are reconciled in a state of shalom. Shalom that is right relationship with ourselves, right relationship with God, and right relationship with one another, and right relationship with all of creation. And we don't win all the time, but the realization that there are times that we lose helps us to make better choices every single time. When we are driven by fear and seeing what we have more important than God, of course, we are afraid all the time. We are afraid. But sometimes we don't realize what we actually have are actually obstacles from getting us more and more aligned with God. And God proclaims through the angels every single time, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Yes, we will face trials. We'll face challenges, and it will not be easy. But do not be afraid, for God says, I am with you. That is what Christmas is about. The coming of the God taking flesh, incarnate, to be with us. So we learn to overcome. Ignoring inequality because I stand to benefit. Yeah, privilege is a very intoxicating thing. But that journey, that growth, is our journey. During some of the groups that I met with, the leadership groups I met with for dinner, I told them that I cooked for them, right? And I told them that cooking is a spiritual practice for me because that experience allows me to be fully present. And that is one of few experiences in life or few activities in life that I'm actually fully present, right? Even when I do the mindfulness or prayer, my mind wanders. But it's only when I cook that I'm fully present, thinking about the people I'm cooking for, focusing on, you know, what is boiling and what is might be overcooking and juggling all the different things at the same time, that I'm fully present. But I also recognize that I have a privilege. And it is, to some degree, a male privilege to call it a spiritual practice. Because my mother didn't have that privilege. My mother had to cook after she knocked off work when we were young, you know, about 5:30. Once she steps in home, she has to start cooking for the whole family. That, I do not think, is a spiritual practice. I have the privilege, you know, because of our patriarchal society, to call it a spiritual practice because it's something I can do out of leisure or something I have a choice to do. My mother did not have a choice. And that realization helps me acknowledge the inequalities out in the world today. Inequalities because of gender, inequalities because of ethnicity, inequalities because of socioeconomic class. It seems that a lot of people have mentioned losing my privileges. But perhaps we need to rethink our privileges in a different way. We may not have to lose it, but it's about sharing. It's about using our privilege to create a more equal space for all. Privilege is not something that we choose to have or not have. It comes often because of who we are born into in some ways. Some of, you know, gender, race, socioeconomic class often comes through birth, like a birthright. But we can do something with that privilege. We can create spaces. I really appreciate my friends who are in academia who insist that there are opportunities for women to speak up in their classes. Because often in the society we live in, it is the male voice that dominates the classroom. And that translates into the boardroom, that translates into society as a whole. Thank you for reflecting with me about the times you have aligned yourself with Harold instead of being with Christ. I think that it is good for us during Christmas to think about this, because the birth of Christ is supposed to bring a change in the hearts of the people so that they are aligned with God, not with Harolds, not with the pharaohs of the world. Aligned with God and not our own convenience, our own comfort, our own interests, our own happiness, so that we can establish shalom. Shalom being all things in right relationship with one another, anchored in love and justice. We arrive with our gifts. But sometimes our gifts are substitute for what we need to do. Sometimes our gifts is like the worship. We just sing with the words without following through with the actions. So like the scribes and the priests, it's easy to be religious and pious rather than live out the commands to love and to do justice. It is easy to follow the rules that are established than to align themselves with God. So we need to go on this journey, on this new year, to keep thinking about the times and the occasions that may come in this coming year, that we have a choice to align ourselves with Harold instead of aligning ourselves with Harold. All this came about when I was looking through old emails, some of the things that I do at the end of the year when I'm pensive. And it's from an email that a Christmas letter that Reverend Yap wrote in 2016, if I'm not wrong. And he wrote this. In our time, we've come to this historical moment to look more upon Jesus as he stood with the marginalized communities of the poor and needy, the stigmatized and discriminated, the victimized and oppressed. Jesus represents now not one to be worshipped, but a way of life to be lived. He was faithful to his God as serendipitous creativity and engaged in the evolutionary process of creating communities which are more human and humane through expressing reconciliation and love, justice and peace, freedom and creativity. This creative process continues on today, and we are called to participate and move into the yet unknown future. This is the journey that we are called to take. This is the process. This is what we are called to do to bring shalom. That word has been echoing in the past couple of weeks for me, perhaps as a calling and an invitation for 2021. How do I live in right relationship with myself, with God, and with everyone? So I would like to invite you in this new year to think about how you can live in right relationship. Amen.
As we contemplate what it means to live in right relationship with God, with ourselves, as one another, we've been given an opportunity to celebrate communion, communion with God, in the ways that Jesus has showed us on that very last night he had with his disciples. And so now let me welcome you to God's table. We gather each Sunday at this table. Even though at this time we may not all be physically together, the table of God's feast transcends time and space because God's love transcends all boundaries. So this table recognizes no boundaries. And here at FCC, we celebrate an open table. And this means you do not have to meet any criteria. You don't have to be a member of our church. You don't need to be baptized. You only need to recognize that God's grace is sufficient. Almighty God, as we approach your table, prepare our hearts that the breaking of bread and the drinking of wine may be an opening to you, to one another, and to all in creation. In this, we pray there will be a perfecting of your life in us and a fulfillment of your will through us.
Amen. Amen.
Together,
most gracious Lord,
we acknowledge and lament our many sins. We have placed ourselves above you and crown ourselves King. We have failed to love you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. We have lived selfishly, not always caring for those around us. We have failed to love our neighbor as ourselves. Have mercy upon us for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Forgive us as we repent with the help of your Holy Spirit, and grant that from this time forward we may live to worship you and love our fellow human beings, so that you may be glorified through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. At this table, most merciful Lord, your love compels us to come in. Even while we take this bread, remember those who are abused, and know that our joy is never complete till they find refuge and safety. You, O Lord, are the God of grace and compassion. So teach us to be your hands of healing to the wounded.
While we take this cup, remember those who are despised and rejected,
and know that our hope is for all to know equality before you. You, O Lord, are the sovereign God of justice. So help us to be your source of light in this world of darkness.
Just as your Son gave of his life freely for us, may we also give of ourselves freely to those around us. Let your broken body and shed blood move and flow through us, that we may practice a living faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hear our prayers, O merciful God, as we receive this bread, and remember your body, which was broken for us. Hear our petitions, O gracious Lord, as we receive this cup, and remember your blood, which was shed for us. Now can I invite the stewards to come forward to help us distribute the elements. And please hold on to the elements as they distribute it to you. Do not reach out for them. That's all just for the safety guidelines consideration. But they will distribute it to each one of you. And please hold on to them until everyone has been served, and then we will partake of communion together. Almighty God, we offer you this bread and this wine, and we give thanks for Christ's death and resurrection. Because he died, we live. Send us your loving spirit to make this bread and this wine the life-giving body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, to make us one with him in your covenant of love.
We ask this humbly of you.
Let us now eat of the bread and drink of this cup as one body. And now can I invite you to stand, as you are willing and able, to pray this prayer communion together. All-powerful and living God, help us to be grateful always for your amazing love expressed through your sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ. As we walk with us along the path of eternity, let your Spirit work within us, that we may live as true witnesses of your love, to your praise and glory. Amen. Thank you, and please be seated. Please hold on to your cups, and you will dispose of them on the way out later on, in the bin later. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Pauline, for presiding over the communion, and for Miak for the very insightful and also draws out and invite us to examine our hearts and how we're going to live our life in relation to one another and with God in 2021 this year. So welcome home. My name is Jimmy, and now we're going to move on to worshiping God with our giving and our offering. However, before that, I'd like to give a summary and look back on where we are at, the health of our church finance for the year of 2020. What you see here is against the budgeted the budget that we planned for in 2020. So for the general fund, we are falling behind $24,000, about $44,000. And for the building fund, about $20,000. So all in all, it's about $25,000 that we are falling behind. So because it has been a very erratic year, so this year at the very beginning, at the start of the year, we'd like to encourage you, to help us as a church and the leadership, right, to plan better to fulfill the mission and calling of our church. So how are we going to do that? Maybe for the next slide, I can show you that the month-on-month compared to 2019 and year 2000, right, has been quite erratic. And because of this unsteady, the giving pattern, right? It helps, it creates a lot of uncertainty around the programs and the things that we want to do as a church moving forward. So, for many of you who have already signed up for our church newsletter, or if you are a member of our church, you would have received an email from our church, sent up by Daniel, on us inviting you to indicate your pledges for year 2021. This would greatly help the leadership or the various ministry, right, to plan what's the budget available so that we can move confidently into the year and rolling out various programs for our community. This is as collectively as a family, right, as one God's people called to a mission, specifically the church, the thing that our church SSPC we want to do. So your contribution, right? This is not a contract, so you don't have to worry about I put my sign, I'm shackled to what I promised. But it more of we are coming together so that we inform one another what our commitment will be, what our giving pattern will be, so that the leadership can plan better. So we really like to invite if you are not in the newsletter, if you are you're not a member for member of the church, but however you want to give to the pledges, You can do so by emailing us at info@freecommonchurch.org, or we have physical forms of the pledges form, right, at the counter of the where in front of the church, where you can just fill that up and give that to the pastors or to our church staff, Daniel, who will be at the Daniel is usually outside at the counter area. All right. So either way, you can just pass it to me or any of the members of the board. All right. Thank you. So moving on to the next slide. What are the ways of giving? So, of course, nowadays, like, cash is like, meh. Most people, like, stay away from giving cash. If I go to the hawker center, right, the auntie uncles, like, I like that very much because they have FavePay and I can earn points, cash back. So cash is one of the ways. We are still accepting cash. So at the end, after the prayer, we will be inviting the stewards to collect, to take up the offering or receive your offering. Another way we do encourage you, right, is to do a direct debit or a standing instruction. So in this way, right, it really reduces, you know, like the hassle of having to log in, you know, then to give. We can, if you set up a standing instruction to give on a regular basis on a particular date of the month, you know, you can just give it to the general fund or the building fund indicated on screen here. All right. Another way you can do that, quick and easy, you know, other than your standing instruction on a regular giving, you can, on a weekly basis, give your offering by giving through PayNow. So right now in Singapore, right, in fact, I think most of places in the world, you have to scan a QR code, and everybody should have, you know, like, quite familiar with this. So you can give now by through PayNow by scanning the QR code above. One, for the general fund, that goes to the general expenses and operational needs of the church. The other goes specifically to the FCC building fund that goes to paying the mortgage of the church. All right? Another way of giving, right, is through, if you are giving through credit card, is to give at give.asia. That would be freecomchurch.give.asia. But however, compared to the other ways of giving, right, we still prefer the PayNow or standing instructions, because for give.asia, okay, for every transaction that goes through, a very small percentage is paid by the church to the platform as a processing and administration fee. So we do encourage you that we actually prefer giving through setting up a standing instruction, standing order, or giving by PayNow. So on the next page, you will see that in give.asia, some of the fields that you can fill in for when you're giving, that is the amount to give your offering, giving for offering, and another one would be a donation to the platform give.asia, who has kindly, you know, provided this platform for us. And also your name and email. If you have not done so in the past, this will help us in terms of our auditing and to be accountable to all our congregation who are contributing. Finally, there are some privacy settings that you can actually set if you do not wish to remain anonymous. So I'd like to invite all of you, or most of you, even on site, right, and at home, I'm sure you already have gotten out your phones and you know, like, processing the PayNow and your offering. So before I take up the physical offering, and while you are processing, I'd like to invite all of us, you know, to join me in a prayer of thanksgiving. God of radical love, we come before you, offering you our gifts. God, you are amazing that you draw each and every one of us at your birth, your life, and your death. You draw from us, you call out to us to offer to you our gifts, ourselves, and even our sins. Lord, we place in your hands these gifts and offering for the glory of the kingdom. Help us and help the church with these gifts to live out, to fulfill the mission that you have called us to establish and to bring forward shalom in this world. Lord, in this coming year, bless each of every one of us here, you know, together in the Spirit. For many of our brothers and sisters who may be facing financial difficulties, they may be troubled and worried in their hearts. But Lord, we We trust in your faithfulness. We know that you are a giver of life. You sustain all things through your love. So God, we thank you. Draw us ever closer to you. Lord, help us to follow you dearly and closely. And may your Spirit always be with us. Give us comfort and confidence in this new year. We praise you and give thanks to you. All this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. So may I invite the stewards to come forward to take up the physical offering. So if you are giving by cash or you are dropping a check, okay, you may just raise up your hand and our stewards will come forward to you. Now we will move forward to the next segment. That will be for the announcement. So announcement, everybody excited, right? Because there's no new announcement. There's just many regular announcements. So one of the important things that we always shout out for, right, is at the beginning of New Year, things still are happening, all right? We are still welcoming our new friends, even digitally. If you can't join us on-site, you can join us digitally. Help us to love you better, serve you better by letting us know who you are or by going to fcc.la/fccwelcome. I need to change my spectacle. I think I'm now my astigmatism is increasing. I'm seeing double. So let me say that again for myself, fcc.la/fccwelcome. All right? And our church staff, Daniel, or our pastors will actually send an email to reach out to you and invite you for the next upcoming newcomers meeting that takes place on the last Sunday of every month. So this month, the last Sunday of the Jan, we'll have a newcomers meeting. You can join us on-site or through online. So now it's like, use the marketing term O2O, right? Online, offline, right? We have a hybrid where you can actually join us at your own choice. So however, if you are, other than filling up the form, if you have questions for us, you can always reach out to us, the pastors, by emailing info@freecommonchurch.org. Well, we are still always offering our pastoral support. Our pastors are here to support our communities, not just within the church, but even our friends of our community or people around you, right? If, like some of my friends in this new year, I've reached out to them, say, you know, we do these things like, so maybe it's just me, right? Once or twice every year, I'll send messages to all my contacts and ask how they have been. However, I'm a bit troubled this year because a few friends have come back to me and say, hey, you know, it's the beginning of the year, I have lost my job. And I don't know how to console them. So if you have friends who are in distress, they feel that they need some emotional support and spiritual support through prayers, do help, or for yourself, do reach out to us, you know, at info@freecommonchurch.org and share with us some of these concerns or things that are weighing on your hearts. And our pastor will actually reach out to you to give you support. Next, notice one of the wonderful things that we have during the whole week, right, you can actually take a respite and take a break by joining the prayer meeting and joining in fellowship with one another to be prayer warriors, to pray for yourself and for others. So we have that every Wednesday from 8 to 8:30, you know, just after dinner, just a perfect time, you know, to just pause and reflect for the week or for the day. You know, by going to Zoom, our Zoom meeting, that is accessible through fcc.la/fccpraise. So do join us for the Zoom prayer meeting. Next, this is one of the new initiative in 2020 that I really like a lot. There's a lot of announcement and things going on because of things are quite fluid this year with different changes in terms of policies and things like that. So announcement do change. So keep yourself updated. Don't miss out anything by joining our broadcast list on WhatsApp. So save this number now if you have not done so, 9366-3818. Send your name to this number and our church staff will actually will include you into the broadcast list and send out the weekly broadcast to you. Last but not least, all that you are seeing now, the emails that you get, the things that you see on the website, the communications plans, the Sunday service, the production, the post-production, the programs are put together by our volunteers. And you know what? Now we are calling for production and communication ministry volunteers. When you sign up, it's not saying that, oh, immediately we will we'll make you, I don't have to be so stressed, we'll make you a volunteer, make you serve. But if you are interested, come and see the exciting things that actually have happened. This is not a marketing talk. I find it really quite interesting, and it's, at a personal level, you know, I learn new skills. So if you're interested, say, hey, what are these new things about, you know, communication? Maybe you're not into production, but you're into communication and visual. Say, hey, I like visual design, or I like to, you know, dabble in, you know, digital marketing for the church and digital communication. You come and take a tour with us. We'll bring you around and show you what, from behind the scenes, right, how the various ministries are actually being run. So do drop us an email at info@freecomchurch.org. Last but not least, we always love a feedback to help us do better. So do let us know what we have done well or what we can improve on by going to fcc.la/fccliffeedback. And this will help us in terms of our after a Sunday service review, the team to review how we're going to do better the next time. So to close off our service, I'm going to hand my time over to Pauline for the benediction.
And now, will you receive the benediction? Dear Lord, we confess that many times we do not align ourselves with you. But now, today, as we begin a new year, God, we want to begin with a new heart. Align our hearts with yours, O God, even as we walk into this new year with your hope, your grace, your peace. And now, go as God's people, and may God's shalom peace go with you, both now and always. Amen.
Okay, thank you everyone on site and also joining us online. We have come to the end of the service. And as we are close off, I'd like to wish every one of us, you know, a wonderful, a beautiful and very hope-filled 2021. Now, I wish everybody, you know, all the best. And then we're going to see you next week. Don't forget, if you wish to, you know, join us on site, do reach out to us and do remember, right, the WhatsApp broadcast list, sign up for that, and you will actually receive the link to sign up for the on-site service. So thank you and goodbye, everybody. Thank you, and see you next week. Thank you, everybody.